What up, what up? We back. Realest podcast ever. We in this thing on a Patreon tip.
We in this bit.
On a Wednesday, right before burdens given. Almost time to get them, time to hand them burdens out again.
Burdens given.
Shout out to Kyrie Terrell for coining the phrase. He hit me up the other day. Was like, yo, I can't believe, man, it was a year ago we did an episode. And can you believe it's almost time to hand them burdens out again? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, man.
Burdens so, got to go out.
They got to go out, man.
I honestly hate turkey.
I'm over it.
That is a real burden.
Yeah.
All right. I'd be perfectly cool with never eating like turkey ever again.
Yeah. How much are turkeys costing this year? Because I know everything is
That's a good question.
Turkey probably $148.
Or they probably cost money. Because, you know, turkey's normally free.
Yeah.
They like, look, man, turkey $10. You know what I'm saying? Like, what you got for us? That's a good-ass question.
Yeah, I would love to know market price on a turkey this year.
I'm about to look that up. How much is a turkey? Turkey right now at Target is $1.19 a pound.
$1.19 a pound.
That's what I said.
Okay, yeah, $1.19. I had to think. So, I had to process. I'm like $119 a pound. Jesus Christ.
No.
All right.
So I'm looking at one right here that's 18 pounds. That's $23.18.
Okay. All right. Turkey's still cheap.
Well, $23.80.
All right. Turkey's still cheap. Chicken, however, out of this world.
Did you the Seinfeld episode when George, remember George's parents was like aloof?
Yeah.
And he introduced him to Susan's parents, who was like refined, and they brought him to their townhouse and they had Cornish hens for dinner. And George's dad was like, I don't understand. What is a Cornish hen? And he was like, it's a game bird. He's like, so you hunt it? And the dad was like, that you hunt all of them. Like they're all
yeah,
hunted.
They all gotta get hunted.
You know, and he was like, okay, it's not making sense to me. He's like, what's not making sense, sir? He was like, the chicken has sex with the rooster. So who's having sex with the hen? Something's missing. And the dad was like, something is missing.
Something's missing.
Something's missing.
Gotta love Seinfeld.
That
man.
Is the funniest fucking sitcom ever, man. Oh, my God. But, I don't care about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm ready to start.
I'm just going there.
I'm ready to start vacationing. I'm like, where you at? Oh, I'm in Aspen. Like, I'm ready to start vacation and go skiing or something on Thanksgiving. I'm over it.
Like, I'm over the food too.
Yeah, I don't care about none of it.
Like, I was saying the other day, you remember back in the day when you would go to Thanksgiving, you would get like enough leftovers for like the next week and a half.
Yeah.
Then, like, around, I'm gonna say like 2010, it was like you would get enough leftovers for like a day or two. Last couple years, it's like, I'm going to just take a plate.
Yeah.
And, like, I was telling her, like, yo, I'm not even taking a plate tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a gluttonous holiday.
It's a gluttonous slavery-induced.
Yeah.
That's how it feels.
People died behind this holiday.
Yeah.
This is a colonizer celebration.
Meek said.
It's like, I don't know if y'all follow Meek on Twitter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I don't care.
I don't care.
I was just having that conversation with my homegirl on the way over here. I'm just like, yo, I'm over it. She's like, where you going for Thanksgiving tomorrow? I'm like, I didn't even ask nobody who's cooking.
Dog.
As far as my dad's side of the family, we just had a dinner for my grandmother's 75th birthday at Booker's, whatever. We had a nice celebration. Like 40-something people came out. Me, my dad, and my stepmom, Sharon, paid for it, make sure everybody came out. We ain't pay for niggas' liquor, though. They had to pay for their own liquor because them niggas can drink. On my dad's side, as far as my mom's side of the family, my brother and my sister both now live in Arlington, Virginia. So I doubt that they're coming up, whatever the case may be. So it's like, all right, I'm out there.
Yo, I talk.
All I got is like C family.
I talk to a lot of people, and it's like that have moved and are other places. Day is not coming.
Yeah, niggas going to Red Robin.
Yeah. Yum, nigga.
Get some tenders.
Yeah. Give me the jalapeno southern biscuit burger. Real shit. Like, Yeah.
Yeah, I'm over it. I was like, listen, the conversation I just had, I was like, listen, I'll be 40 years old in March. I've been eating the same shit for Thanksgiving. Let's conservatively say since I was 4.
That's the biggest thing for me. Where it's like, yo,
I said this last year.
I had macaroni and cheese like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I said this last year when we did a show with Kyrie. Like, there has been no fly innovation to think. Only innovation we got the last 35 years, fried turkey. Just take the turkey, put it in the deep fryer.
Which is a damn fire hazard to the whole neighborhood.
The whole everything. You're going to short circuit the whole block trying to fry a goddamn turkey.
I seen a nigga fry a turkey on a wooden porch in West Philly. And I'm just like, fam.
Everybody's going to die.
If this goes remotely wrong.
If you take your eyes off this fucking shit.
This whole junk going to go left out here.
No.
A wooden, you know, them porches is wood. All wood. So it's like, yo, I have seen people who have introduced turkey wings instead of a turkey.
Okay.
Now that's good. This year probably not so much because I know turkey wings high.
Through the roof.
They always high.
And it's all pterodactyl wings. Me and C make it a point to eat turkey wings like once or twice a month. It's all pterodactyl wings.
And if you want to make turkey wings, you have to be at the shop right when the truck comes.
When they drop.
I'm not joking. I was at the shop right. There was no turkey wings. And the boy told me, he was like, look, tomorrow it's at 10 a.m. All right, truck get here like 9:45. Be here at 10. All right. You'll see me push the big white joint out.
That's the wings.
I came back the next day. No bullshit. 10, it was like 10 o'clock, 10:05. He had just bought the joint out. It was like half empty.
Yo, you know what I haven't seen in like 5 years? Remember turkey chops was a thing? When the last time you seen a turkey chop?
Well, I haven't been to Murray's in quite some time.
I haven't seen
a turkey chop in a while.
Turkey chops are off the market.
Turkey chops definitely was a thing.
They're gone.
Yeah.
You cannot get turkey chops. It's a wrap.
Damn.
You gonna get a whole turkey or you'll get these wings, nigga. Or you get some lunch meat.
Yeah, you definitely
ain't no more chops. Meat. We ain't chopping. We ain't dissecting the turkey like that no more, fam.
Did you know it's a shortage on heavy cream?
Really?
Nigga. Like, we was at the supermarket and like...
What is all the 23-year-old moms gonna do? They can't make no Alfredo.
Yo, that's... Well, they get that shit in the jar.
In the jar. So they good. The ragu.
Yeah. Motherfucking Mama Mia's and shit. You know what I'm saying? Fucking, But there's a shortage on heavy cream right now. Man. And we was in a supermarket and the boy was like, yo, we just haven't gotten it. We went to another place, didn't have it. Lady at Target was like, yeah, heavy cream is just like not around. So people are just, you know, when it comes to macaroni and cheese, they making it with milk. You know what I'm saying? Coffee mate.
Oh, man, niggas going to be bent over the toilet tomorrow, baby. We got to use regular milk.
Yeah, whatever they get their hands on.
Since almond milk and oat milk been introduced, niggas been getting real fancy.
Yo, why the Mac kind of brown? Oh, we had to use Yoo-Hoo, nigga. We ran out of air.
Fucking pink-ass Mac strawberry Yoo-Hoo. No, we tried something different.
Something different. A little strawberry mac and cheese.
Little fruit infused.
Fucking lobster claw holding strawberries and shit. Not the strawberry lobster mac and cheese this year. You know what I'm saying? Now, we'll give niggas credit for that. They have tried everything with mac and cheese.
Niggas have thrown the kitchen sink
at
mac and
cheese. They have thrown the whole joint at mac and cheese. They have tried their hardest.
Yeah, no, that's the Tesla mac and cheese right here.
Yeah, nah. What is, why the macaroni and cheese got so hard? No, because we put breadcrumbs on the top with a little Asiago, and then you have... That shit be crazy, man.
Are these actual truffles? Yeah, no, it's truffles in the mac.
Yeah, mushrooms and shit put all...
It ain't just truffle seasoning. It's actual truffles in the mac.
Yeah, macaroni and cheese has got tried... They've tried many facelifts with mac and cheese.
Yeah, they've gentrified the fuck out of mac and cheese.
And none of them have worked. None of them are any good. Yeah. Me, at the end of the day, I'm kind of just like, when it comes to Thanksgiving as a whole... It's just like, when I was young, we looked forward to it because, you know, we was out of school. Your family was all coming over. You know, motherfuckers give you $10. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it was cool. As you get older, though, it's like, yo, I'm just go there. Life is kicking everybody's ass.
No bullshit.
Life is, like, hammering people. And it's like, yo, I'm going to eat dinner tomorrow the same way I did tonight. Right. You know what I'm saying? Seriously. And, you know, life has a tendency to, like, take the thrill out of tradition at times. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying.
Where it's like, I'm worried about this. We got the live show. We got the truck. We got the to where it's like, yo, I ain't going all the fuck out for this shit.
Exactly.
We got other shit we worried about. And people, that weighs on people. If this year, from I've talked to a lot of people, and it just seems like the last 6 months has, like, weighed on people. And some people can differentiate. Some people can look at it like, oh, it's a break in the monotony. I get to see my family. There's, other people is like, I'm going to punch one of these niggas in the face.
Exactly.
With what I'm dealing with
right now. That nigga Rufus over there, yeah, nigga owe me $400. I ain't forgetting, nigga.
Kirk, come over here. I'm telling you, I'm going to
fuck Kirk. I'm going to ruin Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's going to be bad. So me personally, I'm just like, you know, I'm going to stop past my dad's. I'm going to stop past her mom's, but I ain't, you know what I'm saying? Boston Market got them rotisserie nuggets. I'll be perfectly all right with some of that. Have you had them, Jones, yet?
I ain't had
them.
They
are good as shit.
I believe it.
They are good as shit. So it's like, yeah, I'd be okay with that. I don't need all the extra shit.
Yeah, like, I don't want to take no plates home. Like, you know, when my mom do make Thanksgiving, she be packing me whole pans. I'm like, yo, I'm a person. Like,
dog.
There's only one other person in my house. Dog. Like, I don't need all this food.
We go to Lee Mondra. She like, that's all y'all taking? Like, yo, it's two humans and a dog in this joint. Like, we can't do much more with all of this.
Yeah, no. It's unnecessary.
Take the bone out the hand. That way you can shave that. You have sandwiches. Yeah,
making turkey sandwiches, turkey soup.
Dog. Yeah. Ham sandwiches, fucking corned beef ham in the morning. It's just, I don't got time. I'm good. I'm actually okay. Yeah. But further than that, live show coming up. We're doing very, very well.
Indeed. 40% sold out.
Yes.
Sold some tickets today. Woke up, saw a bunch of tickets were sold. Shout out to y'all. You know what I mean? Following instructions,
man.
Yeah, I mean, we're full throttle with this thing. VIP merch is ordered. VIP lanyards is ordered. Red carpet. Step and repeat. Yeah, we're all the way in the throes of this thing. You know what I mean? Been talking to Raj every day, getting the video production and all of that cool shit together for the sponsor wall and all of that. Shout out to all the sponsors, first and foremost, 14th and Market for powering and empowering us to put on this event. L&W Interior Concepts, Lane's Carpet Cleaning, DTLR. I think they back in. I heard some gift cards or something. DTLR is back in. Who else? Oh, One Fam Radio, the Sandbox. Sandbox got their live show this Saturday, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 1140 Conchester Highway, INR Studios. Make sure y'all go to the IG page. Follow them on IG, Sandbox Network, The Sandbox Network. Grab y'all tickets, $30, includes food and all of that. That's Saturday, 4 to 9. I'll be in the building. I don't know where Matt's going to be.
Okay.
All right, TRP, we slide.
Yeah, we slide.
You know I mean, we're going to slide.
These live shows have gotten a little crazy and shit. There was a live podcast last week where it was like wild as shit in the jungle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was like an S&M show.
Yeah. Somebody came on the stage. I'm not joking.
Oh, man. Yeah. I thought you was joking.
No. I'm just like, yo, what? This is anything. What is going on, yo? Like, we've reached a point where, like, it's so much stuff to digest and take in when it comes to media. And, you know, me and you were having a conversation earlier. Well, me, you, and Dan, but Dan not really.
Didn't really. He's just Ghost Dan.
And at times it can get to you where you just like, how exactly do you cut through all this other media without selling your soul?
Because everybody's competition. Even if they don't do the same shit as you, everybody's competition because we're all vying for people's attention.
The market share.
And the market share. And people's attention span is burnt the fuck out. Bruh. I watched a masterclass the other day. Nikki Saunders. Shout out Nikki. She actually works with E.T. the Hip Hop Preacher. Mm-hmm. And she also works with our guy, Nick Rich, who's E.T.'s videographer and everything like that. And she's literally just talking about, how to master content creation. She was on EYL or whatever, and it was just a fucking amazing episode. And she just literally just knows every fucking thing. How to chop up video, the importance of captions, how to sell to your audience, how to differentiate your personal brand from your business brand, mm-hmm. how to effectively use hashtags. She broke down every single platform, the importance of using LinkedIn because they still have organic traffic.
Yo,
and
you
all
was a
note-taking like,
motherfucker. Because when you was like, I took extensive notes, I thought it was the text.
Oh, no, did you tap
and
all that
tapped it out.
I'm a vigorous note taker.
I was like, what the fuck, man? Yeah, that was
And
crazy.
It's like, it was a lot of info. It was like an hour and 20-minute episode, hour and 15-minute episode. But it's like, it opened my eyes. And me and C sat and watched it together. And I'm like, yo, we're going to be lean, mean fucking content machines come January. Like, we're not fucking around. Because it's like, everything is content. And it's like, you know, she talked about the importance of like doing mashups where it's like you could have video of you doing something and then you fucking and you mute the volume and then put new audio over it or whatever. Like, just everything is fucking content. And it's like anything you can do to draw people to you, to, you know, differentiate your content from the next person is what's going to help you get that market share. We have the benefit of when we came in the game at a certain point where long form content was like the king of podcasting. Mm-hmm. So our people are trained to hear and digest every single minute of every single show.
Yo, people literally be like, we drop 3 hours later. Yeah, we're the next
show. We're the next joint.
Be
yeah.
like, what?
If we put out anything under an hour and 45 minutes, it's like, oh, y'all took some time off this week. Y'all going through something?
Everybody straight?
Everybody cool over there?
Like, yeah.
So it's like, we have that benefit. But like you said last show, like, you know, other people have said, like, niggas is not clicking the link in your bio. I'm right here, right now. I'm going to watch this for what it's worth. I'm going to either leave some fucking heart, some crying emojis, or I'm not. I'm going to leave some honey emojis, or I'm not. And if it's really or some flame emojis, or I'm gonna share if it's really good, I'm gonna share this shit to let people know, yo, this some dope shit I just watched. Other than that, fuck you. Like, I'm gonna give you a view and then I'm gonna keep it the fuck pushing. At this point, I don't even know what constitutes a view. Like, how many seconds or what? I don't even know. Same way with podcasting. I don't even know what constitutes a download. Like, how much time do a nigga gotta listen to count as a download? I don't know. Like, because what we were taught 6 years, 7 years ago has drastically changed. It don't really apply now. Right. So it's like, once upon a time, a YouTube view was like 35 seconds or more. Like, I don't know if that's still the case. I don't know if it's 60 seconds now. I don't know what the fuck it is. But understanding these platforms is the best way to know how to... Understanding the platform and your audience is the best way to know what message you want to convey and shit like that. And when you do something that works... If it's repeatable, you should repeat it and just kind of like change the process a little bit. But whatever is working for you, just do more of that. Lean into that, because that's what, you know, your audience ultimately wants to see. But literally everybody's in competition for people's fucking attention, and our attention spans are super duper burnt out.
Oh, yeah, fucking fried. And I said it earlier, I'm like, keeping the motivation at times be hard. And you was like, why? And I'm like, I guess I was expounding on the whole thing of what you were saying, where it's like, you know, we came into this shit, you know, 6 years ago. And, you know, it wasn't much of a market share you had to compete for, because it was essentially our market.
Yeah, it was cutting a podcast was like a daunting task. Mm-hmm. It was like, where do I go? Who has a podcast studio? What is this? What's the format? Like, people just didn't know.
And I look at podcasting now a little bit like the way I look at, like, spinning rims. Where it's like, when we first saw that Latrell Sprewell shit on Cribs, that next day in school, niggas was like, yo, did you see the rims that keep spinning, nigga? Like, and then it got to the point where there were hubcap spinners and Pep Boys. Yep. And it's just like, I don't even want these joints no more.
24.97.
Yeah, and at times, that's how I look at podcasting, where it's like, the class level, the redeeming qualities, like let's just keep it a buck. A lot of the media that goes on, especially in our culture, and not just media, just things in general, like people we look up to, people we like, people we listen to and take advice from, all of this shit, there aren't many redeeming qualities or lessons to be learned from these people. Like, a lot of people take their cues from, and I'm not trying to diss, but they take their cues from Lil Baby, Meek Mill, Quavo, you know, and
Cardi B.
Cardi B, the City Girls, and I'ma just keep it a buck with you. Pretty much everybody I just named has a drug problem. Like, seriously. Right. Am I lying?
You are not lying.
Meek said, I'm off the Yerkes, nigga. Like, we know Meek was on them Jones when he did the shit with Drake. We know him and Nicki Minaj history with that shit. We know it. These people are drug addicts who are fiscally irresponsible, who are rude, crude, loud, brash, and ignorant as shit. And we take life cues from these people. Yep. So then you turn around when it goes to, like, the media and podcasts and shit that go on. There aren't really, like, when we sit and we've had these conversations about just where we are, where we was at in our credit journeys, or where I might be at in the weight loss journey, or where you might be at in your evolution of business and wanting to be a creator. people take cues from that and be like, yo, you inspire me so much when I heard this. You inspire me so much when I saw this. Yo, when y'all posted this, that was some real shit. Ra literally is a sports handicapper now. And I'm so proud of that little nigga, man. Like, Ra really, he got there. And I told him the other day, I'm like, you're motivating me now to get out of a little bit of a slump that I was in. Because, you know, yeah. I keep it about, I wasn't even sports betting.
Yeah.
And I've been on fire these last 2 weeks. I legit wasn't even doing it. And he straight told me, was like, yo, the episode y'all did with Herm and Kev straight changed my life.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
He says it weekly.
He's like, no, straight up. Like, it showed me how to really structure shit, how to really foundation myself and put money in this and be able to get this, to have this established and this and the third. Like, it dead ass changed my life. Like, hearing people say those type of things, I turn and I look at this other media that goes on and it'd be like, where is the lesson to be learned? Where is the redeeming quality? Where is the it factor outside of the sensationalist of mess, sex, and nonsense?
Drama, trauma, and messiness.
That's it. And ho shit.
That's the culture.
That drama, trauma, and ho shit. That's it.
Yeah.
And I at times just be like, yo, am I even supposed to be doing this shit? You understand what I'm saying? And I think that's more so what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get that.
I'm not unmotivated in us or our talent level or what we can do and just the know-how that we have. I get unmotivated at times where it's like, am I supposed to be in Vegas putting all my time and energy into playing 10-10 and 10-20 no limit?
Right.
That's what I struggle with.
Yeah.
Where it's like, Jules even said it the other day, was like, when our trucks hit, that's all the fuck I'm on. And it's like, he's like, that's all the fuck we should be on. And I'm like, yeah, well, here's the thing. I also have this podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't have to worry about that aspect. But it's like, I still have to create content with you every day.
Right. That's a time commitment.
So I can't go, as full throttle as I want to and am going to go, I know I got to take a time out to, like, process thoughts, read, gather information.
Yeah, go through content.
Because I can't just get on this joint and pull my dick out and put it on a table and have an Instagram model come in here and be like, damn, okay, that's brown. Like, it's just...
It's a good dick.
That's a good dick right there. Like, it's just, you can't do that shit. But I look at other situations where it's like, that's all the fuck they do.
That's all they do.
Bring some IG hoes up, call them hoes and bitches, and then just argue for an hour. Yeah. And post that shit online, and it goes.
I reference Fresh and Fit a lot on this podcast, not because I agree with, you know, even 25% of, like, their messaging and shit. But they're two guys, regular guys, that were able to kind of, like, capture lightning in a bottle and be nobodies into becoming multimillionaires. And their story is inspiring because there's a dichotomy that exists between their content and their real deal, like, subscribers and, you know, minions and people that follow that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it and understand, like, they do the crazy, the after dark shows and the messy shit and end up on the Shade Room and Gossip World and Tea of South Carolina and all of that bullshit. But they also do financial shows and, you know, financial literacy shows and self-improvement shows and have had people from the trucking industry and this industry and this and this and this come on their show. But you know the difference between the crazy shows with the non-retarded bitches and the shows that they do with financial experts? It's a 10x in viewership.
This show got viewed 45,000 times. That show got seen 1.4 million times.
So it's kind of like, for me, looking at them, it's like, damn, I applaud them for even still doing the other shit because you know what the messy shit going to do. You know in the moment when it's happening. Like, when you got a bitch that look like Trick Daddy on this joint telling you that y'all niggas need to have $1 million to date me, you know this is going to travel. You know it because it's ridiculous. And people love ridiculousness. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves a fucking train wreck.
Yeah.
And culturally, black folks and people that assimilate to black culture, we have cornered the market on ridiculous content.
Dog.
Far and away.
And I think for me at times, it's like, how do you get, I hate using the word vibration, but how do you get above the vibration threshold to where you go into the next realm of how we always talk about the Desus and Marrow shit, or going into the... who's somebody else I look at like that?
Because I've really only seen it work a hand. We've only seen it work less than 10 times the last decade.
Yeah.
It's like Desus and Mero. Even Charlamagne started out as a shock job. Mm-hmm. So you can't even really say him. Even on his present evolution he's on now with mental health and, you know, having more poignant conversation, you still really can't say him. You got people. You got EYL.
The Reed.
The Reed. You have like people like the Master Investor.
Mm-hmm.
You have Wall Street Trapper. But those are even people that are almost like selling a service right. also. To where it's like you can make money. And anytime you telling people, yo, I can show you how to make money, there's eyeballs attached to that mm-hmm. shit. When they don't got to decipher the message, they just, if I come here, this motherfucker going to tell me how to make money. I might not do nothing that he's saying, but he going to tell me how to make money.
Right.
I might not have the money to go make the money, but he gonna tell me at least how to start small and grow big.
Right.
But yeah, it's like we haven't seen a lot of examples like Drink Champs, messiness. Mm-hmm. Their biggest moments are just ridiculousness, which is why we didn't understand the backlash to Drink Champs when it's like when they let a nigga like Kanye come up here and be irresponsible.
Right, right,
everybody's
right.
irresponsible when he comes on here, except Patti LaBelle.
Yeah.
She's the only non-irresponsible motherfucker that ever came on 50 here.
50 Cent got on there and was like, yeah, Vivica was eating my ass. It's like, and that was the big moment from the show. And it's like, this is what they do. This is the goings-ons yeah. of the show.
Sensationalism.
Yeah.
Sensationalism and mess. So it's like, so when you're not doing that, it's like, yeah, like, how do you find... you know, those moments that cut through. And I think that we, for us, we got to lean into doing stuff with, like, other kinds of content creators.
Mm-hmm.
I think our interview strategy might need to change a little bit in terms of just making it more conversational versus, like, a life story type interviews and shit like that. And just kind of, like, reeling people in into, like, other people's thought processes outside of ours, and I think that will attract, like, a larger audience. And to keep it a buck, we got to get some white, Chinese, and Jewish motherfuckers on this show.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like, because that comes with market share, comes mm-hmm. with a fucking audience. And once we expose how good we are to those other audiences, I think there's an inevitability of it traveling and
spreading. Like, I'll be
out.
Honest with you. I don't want to be the mess...
I have no interest in that shit.
Like, I look at somebody like David Letterman, right? Who, you know, he's on the fourth season of his interview situation with Netflix.
Yeah.
He's interviewed everyone, you know what I mean? And I, at times, I look at shit like that. I look at Trevor Noah with what he did. I look at Michael Che and them with the fucking weekly update with SNL. You know, Desus and Mero. None of these people are on Philly Scoop Hall every week. Or on the Shade Room every other
fucking
day. And
if they ended up on there, it's like damage control. It's like, right. How the fuck did we end up here?
Right. Like, I don't want to be a part of this. Me and Kev yesterday were talking about it. We were having a conversation. We talked all day. And I'm just like, same situation, like getting above the shit. And you have to really, at times, almost like take a step back and really see it for what it was. And it's like, yo, he made the point. Michael Rubin was like number 19 on the Philly bag list.
Yeah.
Mike Rubin got more money than everyone on the list combined. It just, but that's the way we are in the city. And then just
Mike Rubin sold out of a $3 billion company because his side project is worth $27
billion. You see what I'm saying?
This is getting too large and it's a direct conflict of interest. I got to get out of this.
You see what I'm saying? It's like, but this is the shit. Like, we got people who think like the pinnacle of life is like getting a car with red seats and then going to Biblos every other day.
Yeah.
Seriously, niggas don't want nothing other than that.
Because even, like, our superstars and our leaders of, like, industry are doing the same shit.
The same exact shit. Same shit.
PJ was at motherfucking Tasty's last week at fucking karaoke night. Just mm-hmm. chilling, playing cards with a nigga at the bar. Like. Stat line, 0 for 6. 4 points. 4 rebounds, 6 fouls. Like, it was like, what are we doing?
A mess, man. And at times, I just struggle with it where I'm like, yo, like, true story the other day. Whose fucking story was I watching? God damn it. Patrick Antonius, poker player. You know who he is? Mm-mm. He's from Germany, German poker pro. He had...
got a mighty Greek name for a German fella.
Patrick Antonius?
Antonius?
Maybe he might be part. I know he's part. I'm pretty sure he's German. Let me look. Let me, because I don't want to lie. Patrick and Tonius is, he lives in Monte Carlo. So you know that paper good.
Paper long as train smoke.
From Finland.
Finland, okay.
From Finland. And he has residences in Germany and Monte Carlo. Yeah. I know I've seen German a bunch of times. But anyway, I was watching his story and shit on the gram. And do you see the way you just don't know who Patrick Antonius is? And I know 482 people on the Patreon? Yeah. It might be three people on there. Marv is probably one. Roz probably the other. And me. Right. Real shit.
A whole three.
I don't even think Dunbar or Kev know who the fuck. Like, people don't know who the fuck Patrick Antonius is. But he's a poker pro. He had groin surgery, like the shit LeBron had. Yeah. Because he was saying, like, he had the same situation LeBron had his first year with the Lakers or whatever. But he had the groin surgery. He's been down for a little bit, whatever, whatever. He's back walking, moving around, boop, 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 boop. So he was like, hey, guys, today's my first day going to play high stakes in Vegas. First time back in the States in 4 months. You know, whatever, whatever, whatever. Come on, let's go. We got a big cash game going over at the Wynn. Let's go and see what we can do. He gets to the table, right? Gets to the table. Who's at the table?
Phil Hellmuth.
No, Phil Hellmuth wasn't there.
Okay.
He was right with the first word.
Oh, Phil Ivey.
Phil Ivey's sitting there. Gus Hansen is sitting there, who's another poker pro. In the corner is Dan Coleman. For all of those who don't know, Dan Coleman won Player of the Year in poker. He's like one of the U.S. like bigwigs.
Nice.
Dan Coleman is Kevin Hart's personal poker trainer.
Got it.
Like, he's his poker coach. So you know who's sitting next to Dan Coleman? Kevin Hart. Right? And there was a couple other people in the room or whatever. He buys into the game, Patrick Antonius, for $150,000, right? He gets $150,000 in chips. Buys into the game. So he posts on his story about 8 hours later. He's like, we had a real good session today, guys. You can see right here, he had $670,000 in chips. Right, sitting up on the drone, was like, yeah, $670,000. That's very good. But that's what I took in chips. Here's the cash. Goes to the pans to the like the wide shot, $1.8 million in cash. And I'm just sitting there like, yo, this nigga got $2 million, dog.
Just casually just chilling.
He bought into this game for 150 racks.
Yeah, what is that? Fucking 20X.
20 extra money. He had 2.2 sitting on the drone. And I'm like, $1.4 million in cash, with another $670,000 in fucking chips. And I'm like, yo, Patrick Antonius could walk into any place in Philadelphia and motherfuckers just ain't even gonna know who the fuck he is.
Wouldn't look twice.
He's just a white man with a bald head. That's it. And it's just like, yo, how the fuck do you get to this? Like, how do you get to the Larry David $900 million and just, you got your house and wherever you got it at, no one's bothering you. No one's talking to you. You ain't making no blogs. You ain't fucking, ain't nobody posting you as a part of nothing. It's just, that's the shit that I see and want often. That's it. That shit blew my mind the other day. Yeah. I'm like, yo, Pat, do you know what Meek Mill got to do to pick up $2 million?
How many clubs this nigga got to walk into?
Seriously, even our big dogs, like Future got to like really, really like piss everybody off on Twitter. He got to get under every bitch's skin. He got to do a lot of work.
Take an 18-hour flight to Dubai.
He got to do work to go get $2 million, man. It's absurd when you really think about the shit.
Yeah.
That's the shit I want. And that's where I'm trying to get to when it comes to this media shit. Where it's like, how do you get to these places of being able to make astronomical amounts of money with little to no emotional and mental risk, if that makes any sense. Risking the money and risking your body and all of that shit, that's one thing. You know, sports players risk their bodies, you know, all that type of shit. But when you really sit and think about think about like people who live in these condos downtown, like these expensive $10 million penthouse condos, and then these cribs out in Bryn Mawr that cost $15 million. These aren't like people who are selling weave out of the trunk.
No.
It's just not, it's not, there are a couple people who make it to this point doing all these different things. But like, even when you talk about the bull who do the hair, he gotta go through a lot of shit, and you gotta have this and this, that, and the, like.
A lot of shit gotta go right. Whereas other people, they automate so much.
Automate.
To where they automate the process of making fucking money. Like, they just print money. And it ain't got to be on a Jeff Bezos fucking level. It ain't got to be on an Elon Musk level.
My homie was telling me about somebody the other day who literally was betting 100 grand each game the other day. Like, just add 100 a clip.
Yep.
Hey, give me 100 on the Sixers.
Run this back. Yeah. Oh, that hit? All right, bet. Let's put 100 on this.
Nigga had 100 grand on Georgetown. Like, just doing shit. And it's like, we as people at times, we only see 8 things that you can do and be on. So we gravitate to what those people are doing in those fields. And then we look at that. Like, when you really sit and think about, again, that bag list, Philly has a hierarchy, and the hierarchy is just nonsense.
Yeah, it's mess.
It's just mess. That's it.
We talked about this a lot on the show, and I've made no mistake about it, is that, you know, I am inspired by and enamored with the audacity of white males.
Bruh.
Across culture, whether they're Finnish, Jewish, some Nordic, whatever, they just don't have any fucking fear on what they can do, and they don't place any limitations on themselves. And they're just willing to just try shit. And usually when you're brave like that, when it comes to like industry and creationism and stuff like that, it tends to pay the fuck off. Like, big, big, big. And it's extremely admirable. Like, and it's like you said, like a guy I didn't even know exists prior to 5 minutes ago on this goddamn show. Insanity. Yeah, we had a good day.
Yeah, you know, I had a good day. 1.4 in cash, 600 in chips, you know what I'm saying? First day back. First day back. Crazy as shit, man.
Yeah. In life, a lot of success is tied to risk assessment, and taking calculated risk. Unfortunately, you know, where we come from, we're so tethered to like a lot of fear when it comes to industry and being able to make money and stepping out and giving yourself a shot in order to potentially blow up or whatever, that we tie a lot of our aspirations and our hopes and dreams to like bullshit, like playing a lottery or like trying to replicate some industry that we saw somebody that we know did.
You ever see that shit on YouTube where the white boy runs up on people in supercars and ask them what they do for a living? Mm-hmm. How many times have you heard anybody say, I got a hookah lounge?
Never.
But in the black, like in our culture, hookah lounge is like, nigga, you the king of the goddamn city. Yeah. That's just where we are.
You know hookah, $82 trillion industry. Like, where'd you get that number from?
Seriously, you've never seen anybody on that drone with a fucking a P1 McLaren hop out of the shit like, oh yeah, you know, I'm a party promoter. You literally was like, I gotta get the fuck out of this shit.
Because I realized it was a trap. It was a rat race. It's something you do that
keeps
you...
Look at me with Scepter. Think about how people act with that shit.
Yeah.
And you were Scepter, nigga. You get the key to the city, nigga.
It's certain shit that you do that it's a trap. And you don't realize that you're on a hamster wheel. And even in my hype party promoter, I think I might have made like $240,000 one year party promoter. I had to do so much work, endure so much mental anguish, so much loss. You was fighting
in the street.
In the street, nigga. Over nothing.
Dog.
Over some shit that didn't have nothing to do with
me.
Dog. Like a fucking animal.
Dog. Chris Rock said it best. I live in Alpine, New Jersey. It's one of the richest motherfucking places in New Jersey. My fucking place I live at, it's 150 cribs. 4 of them is owned by black people. The 4 black people is me, Jamie Foxx, Jay-Z, and Mary J. Blige. Mary J. Blige is one of the greatest R&B artists ever. Jay-Z is arguably the greatest rapper ever. Jamie Foxx is arguably the most talented black man ever, and I'm one of the most successful black comedians ever. The white man that lives next door to me is a dentist.
Fucking
dentist. He ain't the greatest dentist in the world. He ain't got a bunch of plaques. That nigga is a dentist. He said if a black dentist wanted to live in my neighborhood, that nigga would have had to invent teeth. That shit is real.
Real shit.
That is real. And we like we so disenfranchised at times that we don't even trip off the shit.
Yeah.
You how many times you heard a nigga say, "Man, if I can get to where I make 10 bands a month, I'm straight."
Yeah, like that's the before, but here's the thing. Let's rewind back culturally. Remember if you made $15 an hour, right. It was like, "You the nigga."
Yo,
like,
dog.
When we were teenagers, we were striving to get a job where we made $15 an hour. Like, yo, if I could just get a job, make $15 an hour, that's, man, what's that? What's the math on that?
I check every 2 weeks, going to be like 9 something. Don't let them have OT. I'm going to burn them on the OT, though.
I'm unlimited OT.
I hear niggas still say that shit. Mm-hmm. Seriously. No, the OT rolling over at my joint right now. You know what I'm saying?
Understanding, like, time value of money and putting a dollar figure to your time and understanding what you are willing to do for an allotted amount of time or how much work you're willing to do for allotted amount of time will tell you a lot about if you're in the right place or the right industry.
A lot of it just comes down to flat out being disenfranchised and us not knowing it.
Without a doubt. You don't know what you don't know.
Let me ask you this. Not changing gears, but somewhat, just still in the same realm. You know crypto is done.
Crypto is a wreck.
It's a complete fucking
mess. The whole
mess.
Shit, the whole blockchain bottomed out.
So have you gotten into this FTX shit?
No, because I know I need to commit 30 hours to it in order to really understand.
You know who committed 30 hours the other day? Your boy. So I'm going to run you through this shit real quick. All right. So for all of y'all that don't know, FTX crumbled, right?
$1 billion
completely
exchange.
Crumbled. FTX was the second biggest exchange in the world, right? Behind, I don't want to lie and speak wrong. I want to tell you the name.
Because we got to put this shit in its proper perspective.
Binance, right? So Binance is the biggest as far as volume, as far as people in the shit. Mm-hmm. So the bull who owned FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, right? Young boy. He went to MIT. Now, first off, this motherfucker is a chubby white boy with a fro who wears t-shirts and shorts all the time.
Yeah, of course.
Never in a suit.
Justin Emery.
right? Already, I'm just like, yo, can't no black man sit at the head of a $30 billion crypto brokerage? Can't in a t-shirt and shorts with a fro.
Fuck no.
Imagine if Ben Wallace showed up tomorrow and was like, yeah, I got this motherfucking, you know, house, man, this crypto, y'all should put your money in here.
Your suit better have a suit on, nigga.
Ain't nobody going for this shit. So, Pete, Sam Bankman-Fried, this nigga went to MIT. He goes to MIT. He gets cool with a bunch of kids, right? It's him and, like, 10 homies. All of these niggas is into a poly lifestyle. I don't know why this has anything to do with the fucking joke, but it does. Because they all was interchanging girlfriends and bitches and living with each other and all this crazy shit. Long story short.
Instead of crypto, I'm not crypto, I'm sorry, the tech world is like that, too. All of the motherfuckers are wild freaks, and they have these cuddle sessions where it be...
Dog.
Mark Zuckerberg ass naked on your neck.
Listen, like, they getting this paper, but they is not some family man. They is getting this paper though.
All freaks.
This motherfucker goes to MIT, graduates. He got like 10 homies. He graduates, he from MIT, got like 10 homies. This nigga, pay attention to shit. He goes to Wall Street, starts working on Wall Street. He realizes on Wall Street that he can buy cryptocurrency. Right? And put it in wallets and then transfer the shit over to Hong Kong or Japan and sell it for a higher rate. So once he realizes that, he's like, yo, I can make a lot of paper doing this shit. He puts his homies onto this shit. They start doing the shit. In 2019, he started a crypto trading company called Alameda, right? He starts this shit. He starts trading crypto. Again, getting it here, selling it in Japan, selling it in Hong Kong, all of this shit. So he's tearing it up doing this. He started that in 2017. 2019, he starts a crypto, I'm going to say the right word. Don't give me the line. Hold on. A crypto exchange. That's FTX. He starts that in 2019. The bitch who he was fucking, his little girlfriend, he made her the CEO of the company. She had no experience ever. She just had a math degree. Made her the CEO of the joint.
Yeah, you know some shit.
You know some shit. 6 + 6 is, okay, yeah, 12, yeah. Come on, you in it. You in. Boom. He starts FTX. Now, peep, already, if you start a crypto trading company, that you're the fucking owner of. You at the next joint starting a crypto exchange is like, already people should have seen the like the smoke and mirrors, because it's like, how you going to be the head of a trading company and the exchange?
Conflict of interest.
Already. So boom, he owns Alameda. They start FTX. I don't know how this motherfucker got people to invest their money and their shit into FTX, but they did. They said that when he got a hedge fund, I forgot the name of the hedge fund, they invested $210 million into FTX. They said he was playing video games while he was on the call, locking in the $210 million. I'm like, huh?
The audacity of white men. The
audacity. So peep how this shit all fell apart. It happened in a week. It's the craziest shit ever. They get to where FTX is basically reporting and sending out that they have upwards of $22 billion of crypto running through their exchange, right? Are you following this?
I'm following.
$22 billion.
Taking notes.
Oh, okay. $22 billion going through their exchange. The CEO of Binance is an Asian dude who owns Binance. That's the biggest trading company in the world as far as volume. He invests $100 million into FTX, and he basically buys 20% of FTX for $100 million.
So a company's valued at $500 million.
Right. So when he does that, he gets 20% of the company for $100 million. After a year, this happened in 2021. This past year, they sold him back the 20% that he got. He got it back for, they got it back for $2 billion.
So he parked $100 million, got back $2 billion.
Put up $100 million, got back $2 billion. Peep what FTX did. They gave him $200 billion in FTT tokens. FTT tokens is a crypto that they created.
So it's worth nothing.
It's worth nothing. They just created their own token and gave it a value. So the CEO of Binance is like, yo, I gave you $100 million in cash. You gave me back 2 billion tokens. What are the tokens worth? You understand what I'm saying? Like, if I give you $100 million and then you give me back 2 billion Chuck E. Cheese tokens,
right?
It's like, okay, that's great.
There we go.
Anyway, he got 2 billion FTT tokens. So if I give you $100 million in cash and you give me back 2 billion Chuck E. Cheese tokens, that's great. I can play skee ball every day for the rest of my life. You know what I'm saying?
I have all the motherfucking gifts.
I'm going to have all this shit. All the mugs. All this shit. We're going to play air hockey. We on the 78,000 game of air hockey. So when he does that, he's like, yo, I want to look at the books, right? At the same time, Coinbase released an article because somebody like on some insider shit, they got a balance sheet from Alameda as the trading company. And they like, yo, these numbers are completely out of whack.
They just made it up.
This was the trading company, though. So he's like, yo, the Coinbase article is like, yo, Alameda numbers don't make no sense. The chick who was the CEO, she comes out on Twitter, was like, oh, that's not the whole joint. Y'all looking at little parts of it, whatever, whatever. Y'all tripping. Now, this was on November 6th, right, of this year. November 6th, the CEO of Binance was like, yo, I'm dumping the 2 billion FTT tokens on the open market. Because something ain't the fuck right.
Yeah.
He says that. When he says that, it sends everybody into a frenzy.
Triggers the
because
whole
it's like, yo, why the fuck would the CEO who has $2 billion worth of the fucking crypto tokens, why would he want to just put them like out into the world? Like, this doesn't make any sense. So people, this was November 6th he did this. November 7th, they said they had a withdrawal ask as far as the crypto people wanting their money out of the FTX John. They said it was $4 billion. That people
in a day
that people requested. The CEO boy, SBF, that's his handle on Twitter. He comes on Twitter, yo, everybody relax. Everything's fine. FTX is cool. Don't play into this. Basically, he's like the CEO of Binance is trying to bury us. You know what I'm saying? Y'all tripping. Don't worry about that shit. We good. The next day, the 8th, another $4 billion withdrawal. That's what people is on. $4 billion more of people wanting their money. They said by November 9th, the number was upwards of 13.5 to 14 billion in requests. They don't have that much money.
Hell no.
So SBF is like, yo, he starts panicking because it's like, yo, I got to pay out $14 billion. They said that they only had $3 billion liquid and they had $14 billion worth of requests on the books. They like, yo, this shit, we can't do this.
Where's the $11 billion?
Peep. The CEO of Binance steps in and was like, yo, I'll buy FTX off of you. And the bull was like, all right, bet, SBF. So when he agrees to it, now the whole crypto world is like, yo, what the fuck? You said everything was straight.
Cool, but you
said
everything
was cool, but now you're trying to sell the company. This isn't making sense. When they agreed to the sale, it was a non-binding offer. When they agreed to the sale, the CEO chick let the CEO of Binance see the actual balance sheets from FTX. He realized there's nothing here.
Oh,
these
shit.
FTT tokens don't mean shit. It's some shit y'all just created. There's actually no backing to it at all.
But they offloaded all the actual...
That was November 10th. November 11th, SBF stepped away from FTX. FTX filed for bankruptcy. They said when they filed for bankruptcy, it was $29 billion that was supposed to be going out into the world. They had $3 billion in cash. The next day, they said they only had $2 billion in cash. So it's $1 billion cash
that's just floating,
that just is unaccounted for. The next day, there was a report of a hacker who hacked into the system and took another $500 million. So $1.5 billion is just gone. The SBF boy, he's in the Bahamas just chilling now. He don't want to come the fuck to Hong Kong, Japan, or the U.S.
Yeah, nowhere he could be prosecuted.
He's in the, because now they like the Department of Justice and all this shit is like trying to step in the brain.
Yeah, I'm listening to you and I'm like, somebody's going to jail.
Bruh. And when he did that, they said that his FTX collapsing, he was in bed with, mind you, he was number two as far as the exchanges, right? They said the next 15 biggest exchanges on the books all were in business with him. They said the total loss in crypto already is at $150 billion. They said there's really no telling. They're not going to be able to tell for months just how much money actually was lost, but they know it's already at $150 billion. They literally were showing how many people lost. Dog, you got to see the shit. Hedge funds collapsed. Pensions. They said that he had control of the teacher's pension from Toronto. Completely collapsed it.
This is how world governments, this is how world economies collapse.
Bruh.
Because of shit like this. It's like the fucking what's the name shit all over again. It's just a different industry.
Yo, it's insane. But literally they were saying how these white boys, they play this, that thin line of nonsense in the crypto thing because it's not the regulated world of the fucking stock exchange. Mm-hmm. Because everybody on CNN on the documentary I watched and the shit I read was like, you can't. Basically, what he was doing was in his exchange, let's say you own Alameda, so you own a trading company, okay, and you own FTX, you own a fucking crypto exchange. I come to you with control of the TRPE pension fund, right? It's $400 million in that. I put the $400 million into the crypto exchange, then you, who owns the exchange, would turn around and send the shit to Alameda, which is your trading company. You can't do that. That's securities fraud.
Oh, wow.
So he was just blatantly doing that. And then what he would do was basically take long shots on gambles, trying to flip the money, and the shit wouldn't work. The CEO from Binance was like, they were gambling on so much shit, solar shit, fucking space radio shit, all kinds of shit they were just taking gambles on, trying to hit big. It's essentially like me giving you $400 million, and then you turn around like, yo, I got this eight-leg parlay. But put the whole joint on that, okay, and everybody gonna get paid. And that's what they was doing. And in the process of that, they lost $29 billion and collapsed 15 other exchanges and lost $150 billion already. He's like, yo, literally the bull's like, so many people are going.
$150 billion.
He's like, so many people are going to jail behind this shit. It's not even funny. They like literally people who, because it's all securities and wire fraud that you're doing with this shit. That's what it is.
Please.
Like, yeah, you're not supposed to be able to run an exchange and send money straight to a trading company that you own both of them. Absolute audacity, dog.
Nuts.
Nuts. And he did this shit in a t-shirt with shorts. That's disenfranchised because no one you know that looks like you or acts like you could do this shit.
Yeah, because nobody's not even giving you the money.
No one's giving you the paper.
You can have a rock solid idea and you're going to get 9 out of 10 no's just for being black because you ain't got the complexion for the protection. So just off of that, you're not even getting what you should get.
Dog, I'm telling you, that FTX shit is nuts. Absolutely insane. Dude buried $150 billion. Just for at the end of all of this shit, to be off on the lam and we can't find $1.5 billion. They said that when people hit him on Twitter like, yo, what's up with the hacker? The account was hacked today. It's $500 million missing. They said his response was 3 question marks. Like, huh?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Shit is wicked.
Brazen, dog. And I'm just looking at shit like that where it's like, yo, this dude, young boy, he only 30. He only 30. Young white boy and his goofy ass homies ran up $30 billion just taking this shit.
And no fucks given productions.
With no experience. Mm. How the fuck are you a CEO of a crypto exchange in charge of almost $30 billion with no prior CEO experience?
Probably didn't have no middle management experience.
Crazy. But I'm reading this shit the other day. I was reading this shit looking at a couple articles. Then it made me watch something on YouTube behind it. And I went and read something else. I'm just like, crypto is fucking finished.
It's over.
And because I'm thinking what is it with FTX? And they were saying how basically what they did with FTX was they knew because they was all young motherfuckers. And Kev talked about this before where the whole lawyer game of older lawyers, they know to take ads and, you know, put their name on this or on the side of a bus or this, that, and the third. And then you got the new lawyers who are on TikTok and all of this. They understood when FTX started to blow. Think about it. FTX Arena in Miami. When the commercials, when you saw FTX, who was in them? Tom Brady, Steph Curry, Larry David. They had the cool fly shit to FTX. And Tom Brady was on the joint I'm putting all, we jumping in the kid. They say Tom Brady apparently put most of his net worth into FTX.
Oh, he's going to be playing football till he's 67 years old.
Harrello Bob Bugaris lost $120 million. He said it. He was literally, Rob was talking about it. He was I was reading the joint. It was just he was set to retire whenever, and that might be over. Mm. Motherfuckers lost their shirts in this shit.
Yeah, Bob might got to start betting again.
Bob might got to come out and start betting again. Yeah. And me personally, I'm going to keep it a buck. I know this is a fucked up way to look at it. Burning them motherfuckers that's rich already and shit like that, it's that's one thing. But when I read that they got the Toronto teacher's pension, I was damn, because that's the shit Bernie Madoff
did. With the New York PD police pension, yeah. Dog,
these are people. My dad lives off of a pension.
Yeah, these are working class people.
Who work every day for 35 years expect to get their pension and this, that, and that. Do you ever watch, what's the Eddie Murphy movie? Tower Heist?
Yeah, I watched it recently.
Ben Stiller invested the pension for the workers at the hotel. And they yo, we didn't ask you to do that. It's it makes sense, though. If your pension fund lets you invest the money the right way, you can make a lot of money through that. I know because I had a pension fund that was kind of stale and just on bullshit to where somebody could be at a job for 8 years and have more money than somebody at SEPTA for 20 because of the way they moving off of their pension.
Yeah, depends on who their brokerage is.
Exactly. So I personally, when I see working class citizens lose their pensions behind somebody just fucking around doing some goofy shit, it's just like Bernie Madoff situation. Did you really need that $5 billion? You had already burnt motherfuckers for 62.
Right.
Did you need the $5 billion from the cop pension?
And the proper way to orchestrate a Ponzi is that somebody got to get paid.
Somebody.
Somebody has to get paid. You pick and choose who you're going to pay.
How many people were on the board of directors for FTX?
Probably him and the girl.
Him, the girl, and his homie. And the bull was like, had people known that, people would have never put a dollar into this shit. How the fuck do you have a brokerage with 20-some billion dollars and you don't even have a board of directors? It's like this shit is like a trap house.
And my thing is for, the Harrello Bobs and the, the Tom Brady's and of the world and all of that shit, it's like, who are their financial people that looked at this and say, yeah, this is solid, let's do this? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's supposed to be a buffer in between you and an exchange of you giving them this like large, insurmountable amount of money. There's supposed to be somebody that's like, this shit don't look right. You supposed to have 3, 4, 8, 13 people look at this shit. You gotta like when you're doing business at that scale, you gotta look for the no's. Fuck the yeses. You gotta have somebody that's like, this shit don't look right.
And you know, his whole shtick was like, I'm the billionaire that's for the people. That was his whole junk. You know, he drove a Toyota Camry. Yeah,
selling hope instead of selling dope.
Turns out he had a $30 million estate in the Bahamas. They go in the garage, it's supercars everywhere. Yeah. It's like, yeah, of course it is. You know what I mean? It was all bullshit. Like, all smoke and mirrors. That nigga got FTX on the fucking Miami Heat Arena. That's the FTX Arena. Mm.
That's why the naming rights is back up.
No. Remember, it was the American Airlines Arena, and then FTX got it? Yeah, they was doing all kinds of crazy shit, dog. Crazy shit. And that's what you talk about, the audacity. Imagine we turn TRPE into a Ponzi scheme and then buy Wells Fargo. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, TRPE Arena, nigga. Like, the audacity, when you know you on nut shit.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Because the thing is, he's probably thinking, him and his homie is probably thinking that there's enough money flowing through this that whatever losses we got to cover, we can cover it in real time. But when everybody asks for their money back and you only have 10% of the bread on hand.
Not even that. Think about it. They said it was $29 billion. They had three.
Yeah, 10%.
Oh, yeah, you're right, 10%. Damn.
And 10%. But then he skated with a billy. And then a hacker took half of half
the billy. The hacker. They said that the shit was hacked. But the only people who had the algorithm to whatever the fuck it was him and his homie. And it's just like,
motherfucker meeting at a nondescript cafe in Little Haiti. Man, this the login right here.
Yeah, meet me at Cubana Link, you know what I'm saying? Have a little sandwich.
Like, have you seen the nigga, you seen the future Holy Ghost video? Meet me down there. meet me at Ernesto's fucking
But Hacienda. Literally, the one joint I read was like, this is the final blow to crypto. Like, as bad as it was. And here go the wildest part. You know what sparked it? What sparked the whole shit from the CEO of Binance, all of that shit. You know what sparked it? The feds raised the interest rates. So when the feds raised the interest rates, it kind of slowed people up
from investing.
On investing. And they basically was like, oh shit, yeah, we'll take the 100 million. Boom, come on, give it to us. But the CEO of Binance was like, basically, like, say you own a company, like a podcast company, I own a podcast company, and we the two biggest motherfuckers out here. You basically on the tip, like, I want to buy into this shit just to see your books.
Right.
Because I don't believe in this shit to begin with.
Yeah, this is bullshit.
Yeah. So you doing this shit just to get close.
Yeah, I got 100 to spare to get in on this shit.
They said he put 100 million up 6 months after they started the exchange. Like, what? We've been at this shit 6 years.
Right.
We just got people to invest money.
He just got a significant amount of sponsors.
Crazy, right? He put the 100 million up. They gave him 2 billion in the tokens. Mm. And you know, when crypto tokens was rolling, remember them Jones was 64,000 a piece and 68,000 and all that crazy shit. So it's like, oh, if you get 2 billion worth of these, all right, cool. But he was like, yo, where's the value? Like, what's it attached to? And then when he saw the actual fucking spreadsheet, he was like, there's nothing here. Mm. There is no value. You got fucking 2 billion fucking, remember when you used to live in them shitty apartment buildings? You had tokens for the washer and dryer?
Yeah, you got 2 billion washing machine tokens.
You got 2 billion of them jaws. Craziest shit ever.
Damn. Yeah.
I'll send you the joint I watched. It's like a 35-minute video that fully breaks down everything. And it's just like, yeah, the audacity behind it and the fact that his, you know who helped him raise the money initially to start it? His pop. Because his pop was a fucking Wall Street person. Yeah. It's just like, yeah.
Yeah, this makes sense, son. Let's do it.
There's a level of corruption just all the way around. I watched this FIFA documentary on Netflix called FIFA.
I watched the first episode.
Dog. And you see that shit, what they did with Adidas, what they did with Coca-Cola. And it's funny because I said the same exact shit to Lee last time we was watching. I'm like, yo, white men really have been just finessing systems since
the beginning of time.
Since the inception of the shit. You know, Queen Elizabeth gave Christopher Columbus the ships. He wasn't trying to find America.
Yeah.
It was a finesse job. I'm going out here to steal. Right. What is this over here?
Sure.
Let me pull up. That's what happened. So, yeah, it's a wild, wild watch. And I'm going to send you the two articles I read on the shit.
That's wicked.
Yeah. It was nasty.
Shit.
And it's scary because you remember when everybody was Bitcoin crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. I saw a thing today was like, oh, Bitcoin is up 5%. New value, 12,000. I'm like, God damn. Like
Bitcoin was $68,000. It was like at one point. They was like, yo, is it going to hit 80? Is it going the long term projection was 300,000.
I remember seeing somebody saying it's going to hit a quarter million. Yeah. I remember seeing that. No, it is not.
Yeah, it was supposed to be last year, fucking when I took all my money out of crypto. Fucking, it was like Ethereum was going to hit 8,000, and I'm just like, no, it's not. Like, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's a wild, wild situation. It's a lot more partial, but that's me.
Yeah, some, high level. I
did a good job.
You did an amazing job.
At explaining what I read and saw. And I'm just like, yo, because even the one girl was saying on her, the audacity in committing the fraud was like, you're not even going to attempt to like shell corporation this or trust with this situation. It's like,
I already paid for the LLC. Fuck, got one for me.
Yeah, I own both companies. But you can't own an exchange. And like, think about it. If I'm like, think about the New York Stock Exchange and I don't know, fucking Minute Maid, like as a company.
Yeah.
If I own Minute Maid and the Stock Exchange, that how the fuck can I send things between the two?
It's a problem.
It's a blatant problem. It's like it was blatant securities fraud from the moment he started. How was he even able to operate for 3 years? And they were saying how what he was doing when he was doing, you know, he gave Joe Biden $6 million during his campaign. Mm-hmm. They said he was doing crazy shit like he would give Joe Biden money, but then his homie, who was like the vice president, would give Trump and the Republicans a bunch of money. So they was covering all bases.
Yeah, we good on either side, baby.
So they were saying how now you're going to see just how much influence he bought when it came to the political side of things. Because they was just dumping money into the politics shit. And that's why when Dave Chappelle got on Saturday Night Live last week and was like about Hillary with the whole thing with the taxes shit to Trump, it was like, you're not going to change the tax code because y'all investors and y'all supporters do the same shit
I benefit from.
That's real. That's where Dave Chappelle was at with that shit. And it's like, yeah, he wasn't fucking lying. It's a dirty game.
Mm.
But then I sit and I look at us out here where we dying in the streets over somebody stole a wig and, you know, like crazy shit.
Yeah, it's like we got to dream bigger.
We got to dream bigger. Bigger, bitch. Like, real talk.
Yeah, we got to dream bigger, man. Shit.
Motherfuckers out here hitting people for $25, $30 billion at a clip.
Unapologetically, too.
Unapologetic. The CEO of Binance put up $100 million just to see your books. I just want a little.
Let me get a little peek.
Yeah. Add me to the group chat. Y'all out here selling close friends for $5. That motherfucker dumped $100 million to get into close friends.
Jesus Louise.
And he figured it out. And you know what Binance now is?
Figured it out in short order,
in
too.
Dog, this shit happened in 6 days. November 6th. That nigga tweeted that. One tweet. They was like, yo, one tweet completely crumbled the crypto world. Mm. One tweet. I'm dumping 2 billion FTT tokens. FTT tokens ain't worth shit. It's some shit we created. How the fuck do y'all create your own crypto? In an exchange where you're sending shit out to your trading company. Like, what? One tweet. That shit happened on November 6th. On November 11th, they filed for bankruptcy.
Mm.
Less than a week, my nigga.
5 days.
Less than a week. And what day is it? November
23rd?
He's on the lam in the Bahamas. We don't know where the money at that's gone. We don't know what happened with the hacker. FTX is completely crumbled. The arena's naming rights is back up. Pensions is destroyed. People is just out of money. Herillo Bob fucked around. Brady fucked around. All this shit. And now we just like, goddamn, back to square one.
Hope the motherfucking supplements that they selling at TB12 work as good as they advertise. Tom got a lot more footballs to throw.
Oh, crazy. I'm about to show you this shit.
That's wicked. Yeah, the level of not just giving a fuck, man, that just exists, you know, with all, you know, white males, man, even the ones that do it the right way is astonishing, man. It's something to be marveled at.
Between $1 billion to $2 billion of FTX customer funds have just vanished, completely disappeared. The company is still on the hook right now for owing out upwards of $18 billion to investors. Crypto billionaires with $96 billion loss add distance from FTX. That's two companies together. They folded. They said that to, and then here's the bow of it all. They said that when they collapsed and the next companies behind them collapsed, they said it was a $45 to $90 billion loss. To put it into perspective, the Enron collapse was $23 billion. Here go the craziest part, the wildest part of it all. You know who took over the other day as the CEO for FTX? The former chief lawyer for Enron. I was like, what, man?
You're talking about poetic justice.
I said, what, man? Like, this shit is crazy. It's wicked. But like Dan said, motherfucker will burn somebody for $15 million and then straight see him later. Be like, hey, what's going on, Ted? How you been? Didn't Noriega say that? Motherfucker lost $7 million, got on a plane with the motherfucker and went
with
on
the
vacation.
Yep. With their families.
We got a big, we got to think bigger, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah. It's a wild watch. Wild read, too. I was bored the other day, and I was just, I gotta know what happened with this FTX shit. Once Rod told me about Babu Garris losing 100 mil, I'm like, I gotta get into this. I gotta start reading this shit a little bit. And I just sat the other day. I was bored. I started reading. I watched that shit on YouTube. I'm like, I get it now.
Yeah.
They white. Because no, Robert Smith couldn't get this type of shit popping. No. Fuck no.
Robert Smith had legit money. They wouldn't let him buy a goddamn NFL team. They said, yeah, nigga, there's some process paperwork shit got weird back in the 80s. We good off you, cuz.
Imagine being black, right? Imagine being a black man who's accumulated legally, did it the right way, wealth that exceeds $6 billion. I want to say he's upwards of like $7 billion. Mm-hmm. And when you go to purchase a knighting, because that's what we call it in America, is getting knighted, owning an NFL team. You go to do that, and they bring up a $60,000 transaction that went left in 1986. Yeah. In 2017. And you like, what, man? Imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine if we fine-tooth combed these other people the way we...
Yeah, the shit that we would find.
It'd be shit like this all the time. So,
ooh.
Yeah, it was wild. I'll send it to you, though, if we get off there. Shit was crazy.
Mm. Hashtag pray for the investors, I guess. I don't know. Like, that's wicked. That is wicked.
And that's the part of it I don't like is, like, you know, in America, they sell us on hope. More than anything. Mm-hmm. And it really don't matter what level you at.
Yeah.
It really has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with gender. It has nothing to do with class. We all believe in hope.
Yeah, it's the fabric of the country, the land of opportunity, all of that shit. Like, they sell it to you from, you know, if you a immigrant or you a natural born citizen, they sell it to you from the day that you're born. It's the land of opportunity. You can do anything here. Like, we run a capitalist society, blah, 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 democracy, this, greatest nation on earth. They sell it to you. Over and over and over and over again. It's propaganda to the point where, you know, we believe it. And for some people, you know, that shit corrupts in an absolute fashion.
Yeah, and that for me is like taking advantage of that is the suckiest part.
Yeah. You would think that it's like if you taking in, you know, 30 some odd billion dollars in management, whatever, you could turn down the Toronto Teachers Fund and be like, yeah, I don't think this is for y'all. Like,
you see what I'm saying?
I think y'all probably want something a little more safer, whatever. Like, crypto's very volatile. Like, that's an easy, like, we don't need to do this one.
Yeah. Like, just as a human.
Just as a human
like
being.
Your human instincts would kick in and be like, nah.
Because if don't nobody know you full of shit.
Right. 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 And that's the jump for me. When is enough enough?
Some people it's not. Because I've seen it with, you know, with street niggas
and
too.
That's what I was about to compare it to. Yeah. Like, and you know how people be like, oh, why Meech didn't just stop? And it'd be like, well, the cartel doesn't really have, like, resignation papers.
Yeah, it doesn't really.
You can't really. Hey, man, it's my 2 weeks. Y'all take care. Like,
So much so, the cartel told him, come down to Sinaloa and live with us and run this shit from here.
Dan was telling me of somebody he like know like where it was like he was in deep and wanted to, and they was like, yeah, well, listen, the Jones is still coming, so yeah. And you on the hook for him. So if you pick him up or not, that's on you.
Yeah,
because
they gotta sell.
They gotta go.
This is part of our gross domestic product. Like, yeah.
Jorge is in the van
right now.
Right now, like Jorge is about to get on the road, nigga. So
yeah, there's a box truck on its way to your address.
Yeah,
right now, my nigga.
They're coming. So and they're on your name. So I don't know if you got like some friends, like how that works.
And that shit gets so deep that even so to where it's like, even if you appoint somebody and they approve the person that you appointed, if they fuck up, it's still on your name. Still on you.
Yeah. Dirty. But yeah, I look at that crypto shit just the last couple years, I guess bringing the show full circle, we talked about earlier, like the last three, like COVID, and then the last 6 months especially, where I personally think ever since them interest rates rose,
yeah,
everything has just been out of whack.
Yeah, for sure.
We've just been in like a complete downshift of energy, attitude, feelings, emotions. It's just all been fucking
I was terrible. Watching a clip yesterday on YouTube. Wall Street Trapper was on Joe Budden last week or whatever, and the clips is circulating this and that. And he was basically saying, like, yo, whatever happens now with the economy and shit like that, as far as like interest rate changes, any fluctuation, this and this and this, you're going to feel that in Q1 of 2023. It's like, you don't feel that shit like immediately. It has a lagging effect to it. So it's like, so whatever the fuck we going through right now is a direct effect of what decisions was made in the summertime as far as the economy, contraction, housing market, this, and it's like, you know, it's always like a, you know, a two to four month lag or whatever when, you know, what this shit happens. And, you know, the Fed raised interest rates 4 times in a row, 0.75 points every time. Oh, to a total of the prime rate is now 3% higher than it was 6 months ago, what have you. And there's speculation that they might raise this shit again. So it's like, yo, as that shit just continues to just go up and up and up, and they telling us that, you know, we're raising interest in order to stave off some of the inflation, none of the inflation is changing. Gas is still $4.15 a gallon. Oh. Fucking chicken.
This shit. TSM made a massive splash in the esports business world in 2021 by signing a 10-year naming right deal with crypto exchange FTX. People was just dumping money into that shit. Just dumping hundreds of millions of dollars. And then the next joint, TSM suspends all activity with beleaguered FTX. Like, it's just everything fell apart.
Hashtag we ain't got it.
Hashtag I don't know, bro. Like, everything got fucked up. Bad. Mm. Bad. And, you know, people lost everything. A lot of people lost everything in this situation.
White nigga in a dingy t-shirt and sweat shorts just fucking bankrupt the whole crypto.
They had
market.
Like regular everyday people on it. The one dude, he like works in the tech industry, and he took his life savings. It was like $460,000. Invested the shit, lost it. Like, motherfuckers was just because think about when crypto was on that run.
Mm-hmm. It was everybody. Like, yeah, you have FOMO. It was all these people that's like, yo, how come I didn't? Why didn't nobody tell me that Bitcoin was gonna? It turns into that shit.
It's like cocaine in the 80s, like, whoa, I can make how much? All right, yeah, no, we're going to get a little boat. You know what I'm saying? I got somebody down there in fucking Fort Lauderdale. We're going to do this. All for smoke and mirror shit. Mm. Yeah, it was bad.
Wicked.
Wicked as shit. Seriously. So, yeah, and like, I just don't like preying on the fact that we all trying to get to the next level, no matter who you is.
Yeah.
LeBron is still, I say it all the time, Jeff Bezos still go to work. So everybody's trying to get to the next level. And for people to see that and, like, exploit that.
Yeah.
And just, that's
it's enough to make you lose faith in humanity. Because it's like, yo, who can you trust? Who does actually have people's best interests in mind? Who's not out all the way out for self?
And you know what's funny? Y'all know I reference Paul Mooney all the time. Because I just think he's the realest, best comedian ever. I remember him talking about the loyalty to America, and he was like, you see white people who run around with American flags and pride and bald eagles and all this shit, and he was like, let's be real, they not loyal to America. You know how I know? Because when it's Ireland Day, they got all like green shit on. When it's Italian Day, they got their red, white, and green flags. He's like, you know who's loyal to America? Black people. Ain't that crazy? Mm-hmm. We be more loyal to America than we are to Africa.
Yep.
And he was like, straight up and down, black people, we're like hound dogs. We loyal as shit to America. We ain't never sold no secrets. He's like, I can name you 15 different white people right now who in jail for selling secrets to the Chinese and selling secrets to the Russians. Black nigga ain't never sold no secrets. He's like, that's because they won't let us next to the secrets. You know what I'm saying? But he was like, if a nigga got his hands on some secrets and sold them to Russia, oh my God, could you imagine that? They'd be on the news like, yeah, the nigga sold secrets to Russia. Russia is filing for bankruptcy. That nigga hit Russia for everything. He's like, they had a nigga on a phone call, oh, come on, Russia, y'all gonna put some more money up for that secret. I need a couple cases of that vodka. I need more shit than that. That shit is crazy, man. But I got nothing else for this episode.
Nah, that was eye-opening, to say the least.
Crazy as shit, right? Because no black person could even get close to doing some crazy shit like that. Not when you 30 and in a t-shirt.
Man, you get 100,000 niggas that's trying to climb through your window.
AI wore a t-shirt. They was like, yo, we putting in a dress code. Just to put it in perspective.
That t-shirt is down to your knees,
yo.
Nigga. Whole league got a dress code.
Think about that. This motherfucker was at the helm of a $30 billion crypto exchange in a t-shirt. They straight told AI, you have to wear a suit.
Yeah. Can't do shit. You black can't do shit.
Disenfranchised, not even a word when you really think about that shit, man. We just don't have access. We don't. It just... And all it come from is him going to MIT and being around a bunch of creative motherfuckers who figured it out. Like, oh, shit, we can do this. Good friend of the show today, he was talking about his daughter going to fucking school. And it's like, I hope it stays like, what's the word? Like when it's a bunch of different nationalities.
Oh, diverse.
Diverse. Because when you looked at the older girls, they had like the older, like the I guess like middle school or high school girls. And then like the younger kids were a little diverse. Had a couple blacks, couple Indians, couple. But all the older ones were white.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, yo, that shit is real. You know how many motherfuckers, when you tell them how much these schools cost, it's like, wait, what? Because no one would pay that. And you know, we talking about people, again, the vibrations. We talking about people who run around with Chanel this, Dior that, Fendi this. All they kids go to regular ass school.
Yeah, because how else am I going to afford this shit?
Ain't nobody putting out $35,000 for their kid to go to elementary school.
Like $35,000—that's three jumbo Chanels and a Goyard bag. I don't know about that.
Might be able to get a little Goyard wallet. Like, I don't know
about that.
You know what I mean? Give me a little bottle of MFK.
They want the whole $35,000? Oh no! Ain't got no subsidies.
This has been a real good one.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely a good discussion. A lot to be said in that and a lot to be thought about when it comes to that. Because, you know, us as you know, even look at us with this show, with what we do, with what we've shown, with our track record, with what we've been able to create, it's still at times like pulling teeth to get the right amount of support or the right amount of sponsorship or backing or this. You know, let's just keep it a buck, pull the curtain back. We don't have a locked in year-round sponsor.
No.
We should have. We should have 10 of them.
Yeah, we should have 5 to 10 that every single January 1, they just renew.
Just renew.
And they just pay out because they know, because there's brand alignment, there's trust there, and they know that we're going to do right by the brand.
But, you know, we don't have Jufros and t-shirts. So, you know. But somebody who's literally 8-9 years younger than me and just, you had to hear him talk. He don't even seem trustworthy. How the fuck were y'all just dumping this bread into it?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Dumping it. I mean, just giving it up so that him and his homies could run around and just try stupid investments. Yeah. Literally. Motherfucker, yeah, and then, you know, so-and-so gave me $250 today, so I see that Nuggets money line, and I'm thinking the Nuggets.
I'm feeling
frisky. The Nuggets money line look like it might be it. Tonight.
Like, if we add Jokic over 20, you know, it spans the odds.
DeMar DeRozan is not playing, okay? I'm telling you. We should go against the Bulls tonight with the Nuggets. Like, that's what they were doing. They had, like, a list of the shit they were investing in. It was insane, yo. It was absolutely insane. These motherfuckers were investing in, like, solar panels for ships. and fucking, it was for ships, cruise ships, solar panels. Like, the cruise ship gonna be out there at night, bro. Like, it's a night, like, you know, the cruise ship dock.
Yeah, no, but it's gonna hold enough power. No, it's not. Fossil fuels, stupid.
Fossil fuel, you idiot. This is why Qatar and Dubai. Like, the fuck, man? Yeah, crazy shit. Meanwhile, China and Qatar and all of them is just, we're going to talk about that in the next one. The FIFA shit, like, getting into that a little bit.
The FIFA shit is crazy.
The FIFA shit is even, yo, we doing all real live just business. The FIFA shit is crazy.
The FIFA shit is crazy.
It's crazy. So we're going to do that on the next show. This has been a good one, man. Anything else?
Get y'all show tickets, man. Y'all fuck with us. Fuck with the Sandboxes. Saturday, we'll be there 4 to 9 p.m. Go to their Instagram. Hit the link in the bio. Grab the tickets for that, John. Shout out One Fam Radio, one of our sponsors and one of our brother podcasts that been supporting us from day zero in this thing.
Absolutely.
Other than that, man, we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Stay safe and don't give no money to a crypto exchange. We out.